Finding a wife is one of the most important things that a young man ever does, and the scripture does give direction to the young Christian man so that he can make a godly choice. Proverbs 31, verse 10, we read, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies." And we're also going to look at Genesis chapter 24, and this is going to be the chapter that we draw most of our thoughts from this morning. We read in Genesis chapter 24, "Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, 'Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac.'" We're going to look at this idea of finding a godly wife, a virtuous wife, this morning. Before we go any further, though, we have a privilege and an opportunity to approach God in prayer. Shall we do so? We have a number of young men and young women in the congregation here at Rice Road who, in 10 years, are all going to be married. The purpose of this morning's sermon is to take Scripture and apply its wise counsel to this most important decision that a young person makes. And we are going to focus on the young men this morning, but we won't entirely leave the ladies out. In fact, I recommend that young ladies listen closely to discover the type of Christian girl that God approves of and commends to the boys so that they can transform themselves into that type of person. Genesis chapter 24 is one of the few love stories found in Scripture. Of course, the entire Bible is a love story, but there are few specific romances found in the Scripture. Genesis chapter 24 has one of them. It's a story that we're not going to relate because it's so long this morning. We're not going to read it. We don't have time. But if you get a chance sometime later this week, you might read Genesis chapter 24 and consider the great details of the romance of Isaac seeking after his bride. One of the main points that I want to make this morning is that it's a picture prophecy. In this story in chapter 24 of Genesis, we have Rebecca as a type of the church, and Isaac as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ searching for his bride. So Isaac and Rebecca are shadows, they're types, and the events of their lives dimly reflect the glory of the Savior calling to him the redeemed church of Christ. Let's recall a few things about the book of Genesis. Back in Genesis 22, we have the famous Akedah, that's what the Jews call it, the binding of Isaac. And you remember the story. Abraham is commanded by God to take his only begotten son, as Isaac is called, to Mount Moriah and there sacrifice him. Abraham is thus a type of God, the Father, who is willing to give his only begotten son as a sacrifice for sin. Isaac is a type, he's typical of Jesus, who is willing to be bound and submit to death to fulfill all righteousness. I'm not going to read all of them, but Burton Kaufman lists some of the similarities between Isaac and Jesus in his commentary. They both had supernatural births. They both were called sons of promise. They both were called the only begotten son. They both carried their wood up the hill of sacrifice. They both were obedient to their fathers. And they both were dead 3 days and three nights. Jesus, literally. Isaac was dead in a figure. To Abraham, it took 3 days and three nights to travel to Moriah, and Isaac was figuratively dead in Abraham's heart for that time. There's no question that Isaac represents a type of Christ. In chapter 24, we further find that Isaac and Rebecca are a type of Jesus and the bride, the church. We find that Abraham sends his servant Eliezer, whose name means helper, and he's not specifically identified in the chapter, but in all likelihood it was Eliezer. Again, his name means helper. He's sent to Mesopotamia on a long journey to find Isaac's bride, and I believe that Abraham sending Eliezer is typical of God the Father sending God the Holy Spirit into the world to bring men to Christ, to bring the church to the Lord. And notice that Rebecca's response to the word of Eleazar is similar to the sinner's response to the scripture. Rebekah listened to Eleazar. He came to her home and said that my master's son desires to be your groom. And so she listened to the words. The sinner listens to the words of the Bible. Rebekah believed the words. She believed that indeed this was true and that Isaac was waiting for her even though she had never seen him. And the sinner believes the Bible. Rebekah then turned from her life with her family, everything that she knew up to that point in her life. And this, it's also true of the repentant sinner. The sinner repents of their sin and they turn away from that and they reject it. Rebekah confessed her faith. She said, I will go. The sinner also confesses faith in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ. And then Rebekah obeyed and went with Eleazar, and the sinner obeys and is saved in baptism and then continued obedience to the word of God. And so this passage presents to us the type of Rebekah representing the church. And I think we can learn much from these examples. The Bible asks, who can find a virtuous wife? That's a rhetorical question. And the answer is only God. The answer is only with God's help can you find a virtuous wife. It's impossible without the Lord. Isaac did, our Savior does in the church, in the bride, the church, and so can you, young man. You can find a virtuous wife if you follow the guidance of the Scripture. So now we're going to look at some of the details of Genesis chapter 24 as a pattern for wife finding. How to begin? Well, begin with prayer. Eleazar had a large task set before him to seek out a wife for his master Abraham, and he began with prayer. He prayed in Genesis 24, verse 12, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. He began wisely by beseeching God the Father. Young men, that's where you should begin. And I think young men should pray this prayer that Eleazar prays and ask God to show you success in finding a wife, to show you kindness in your search to become married. So the first step is to pray with submission to the Father's will. And if you miss this step, then your search is certainly doomed. Pray with sincerity. And I think you should probably pray that, Lord, if the current relationship that I am in is not of your will, then I ask that you thwart it and prevent it from continuing. It's also interesting to notice that we have an example, a pattern for this in Jesus. Jesus prayed for his bride, John 17, verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And so Jesus sets the pattern of praying for your bride. And Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 tells us, in all thy ways acknowledge the Lord. And that certainly applies to marriage. It's the most important decision that you make secondary to becoming a Christian. Acknowledge the Lord in your search for a wife. And then secondly this morning, have the proper mindset. The young man needs to realize that a wife is a gift from God. We're studying in the book of James, and verse 17 of James says that every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And that's certainly true of a virtuous wife. God gives a gift of a wife to a young man. Eleazar said in his prayer, show kindness unto my master Abraham. Kindness suggests a gift. Kindness suggests that the Lord is bestowing upon you a wondrous present, a gift that will bless the rest of your life. Also in Proverbs 19, verse 14, we read that a prudent wife is from the Lord. Outside of the gift of salvation, outside the gift of eternal life, the best gift that God can give you is a gift of a wonderful life partner. I ask young men to think, what else would you rather have in this life? Would you rather have money? Would you rather have fame, success in your career path, the respect of those you work with? Would you rather have power? And if you're a wise young man, you will answer no to all of those questions. You would rather have a prudent wife, a virtuous wife. And then Proverbs, of course, suggests to us that it is a difficult task to find a virtuous wife. Now, after you realize that your wife is a gift from God, you should have the proper mindset in realizing that your wife is not your possession. And in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, we read, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." Young men, as you begin your quest, you need to realize that your wife, your future wife, is not your possession, and you are to dwell with your wife with understanding and give honor to them because they are an heir together of the grace of life. And so the gift of God, your wife, is God's creation. She's the handiwork of the architect of life. She's not your possession. She's not your property, but rather a divine blessing. And you need to realize, young man, that you are answerable to her father. And I'm not talking about her biological father, because her biological father may not be very wise, and you may be able to trick him, you may be able to fool him, but you will not fool her heavenly father. She is a daughter of the king, and you won't be able to pull the wool over him. This young lady has as her spiritual father, her maker, her designer, God the Father, and the creator of the universe. And if you damage her, then you are answerable to him. We older men that have been married for many years should remember this truth and never forget it. Our wives may become, if we're not careful, humdrum. And we may take them for granted. But we should remember that every day, every single day that we have, that we're granted to live in this world, is a blessing from God. And then, thirdly, under having the proper mindset and attitude, is don't go expecting to find your soulmate. And it's interesting to know that this concept of a soulmate is not found in the Bible. The words soulmate are not found in the Bible. And I found a quote from somebody named David Beasley, and I thought his words were well written. He wrote, "Most people have this fantastical, unreal notion that God brings together two lost hearts who experience true compatibility in all the deepest longings of their being. Most people think that your soulmate is someone with whom you never argue, and you spend endless days of hand-clenching romantic walks on the beach. No hardships, no struggles, just starry-eyed wonder for the next 80 years. The truth is, a soulmate isn't someone you find. It's someone you intentionally and prayerfully become. Anyone in a successful marriage can tell you that success in marriage doesn't come from finding that one person you were meant to be with. It only comes from giving up the selfish behavior that served you while you were single and focusing on selflessly serving your spouse instead." I think you would agree. Wise words from Mr. Beasley about not expecting to find your soulmate. And so have the proper mindset. Realize your wife is a gift. Realize that she is God's child, God's daughter, and then don't expect to find a soulmate in your quest. Thirdly, this morning, set the standard. Set the standard. In the first place that you need to go is the right place to find your wife. This is a very important concept, and many men overlook this very crucial fact that you must go to the right place to find your wife. And Genesis chapter 24 exemplifies that, does it not? I think Abraham, when he told Eliezer to go to Mesopotamia to find his son a wife, I think he was thinking about his nephew Lot. I think Abraham remembered the boyish expectation on Lot's face when he turned towards Sodom. And I think Abraham remembered later the devastation on Lot's face after he had married a woman of Sodom and his dreams came to a bitter end. Abraham probably spent many hours thinking about Lot, don't you imagine? And so it was with great deliberation that he planned to find a wife for Isaac. And so he looked around at the women in the cities of the land, and he found none worthy. There are very few godly women in our world. There's plenty of women with a spirit of rebellion. There's plenty of women with a spirit of defiance. The role models for teenage girls are Lady Gaga and Pink and Beyonce and so on and so forth. And it'll be different next week, next month. But none of these are godly women. And Abraham had the same set. He had the same set of women to see in that day. And I think he knew that if he allowed his son Isaac to marry one of them, then Isaac's end would be the same as Lot. And so that's why he sent his servant back to Mesopotamia to find a wife. So where did Eleazar find Rebecca? Well, the answer is he found her at a well. And you can read in the chapter and find that Rebecca was at the well drawing water. And so that's the point I want to make. You should go to find your wife at the well. Jesus also found a woman at the well. John 4, verse 14. Whoever drinks of the water, he told the Samaritan woman, that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Isaac's servant, Isaac's emissary, found Rebecca at the well, and Jesus also found the Samaritan woman at the well, and so should you. So should you find your wife at the well, and by that I mean the church. The well is represented by the church and the spring, the fountain of truth that is found in the church. And so you're not going to find a godly woman at a bar or a fitness club or at the mall or in your college class. Where you need to find a godly woman is the Lord's house. We're not talking about a woman in the world who claims to have a relationship with Jesus, but she's not a baptized Christian. She rarely goes to church, and she doesn't act convicted. She doesn't show her conviction in her heart. But rather, you need to find a woman who is part of the Lord's church and shows dedicated commitment to the Lord. And I couldn't help but think of Don Lee at this point in the sermon. And I don't think he's here this morning, fortunately, because I'm sure he'd be embarrassed. But what a prime example of a man who made a wise choice. He went to the well, did he not? Mary died. And Don had the opportunity to find a wife somewhere in the world. And he showed great wisdom in finding his wife. And young men, you need to follow after his example. Now, what about dating outside the church? Should you or shouldn't you? And I'll begin by saying that my hands are not clean on this. I was guilty of dating non-church women. And experience taught me that it is a very dangerous thing to do that, because you can lose your heart to so-called romantic love. Satan wants you, young men, to date outside the church, because you show disrespect for the women of the church when you do that, and you show that you lack, as I did, the knowledge and the wisdom that dating outside the church can destroy your soul, can lead you away from the church. Satan knows that romantic love is very difficult to resist for even the strongest of Christians. Consider the example of Solomon. Solomon was the wisest person of his day. God answered his request and gave him great wisdom and great largeness of heart. But he was swept away in love for godless women. 1 Kings 11, verse 4. When Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. I think it's true that we're not wiser than Solomon, except through Christ, of course. But we're told that Solomon was a very wise man. If he was swept away in romantic pseudo-love for some bright-eyed miss, then you can be as well. That girlfriend will subtly downplay and downgrade the Church of Christ, spiritual issues, and soon you will find that, like Solomon, your heart is not as loyal to the Lord as it was. And the sad and scary thing is, you won't even know it. Let's go to the right place to find the wife that we're searching for. And then, under setting the standard, going to the right place, requiring the proper introduction. Isaac was introduced to his wife through his father's servant. Isaac trusted Eleazar to find the appropriate wife for him to marry. And you can trust God to find a godly wife for you to marry. Isaac allowed a spiritual introduction to be made. And young men, the greatest thing that you can do for yourself is to listen to the advice that is given to you by wise counselors. Turn to the older people in your life and ask them for their opinion on the young lady in question. And that also, of course, applies to the young ladies. Turn to the older people in your life and ask them about the young man, because your heart is deceitful. And those amazing feelings of love that you might have, being swept away by emotion, thinking that no one understands and that they're all wrong about this person, those are lies. And it's happened countless thousands, millions of times in the history of the world. And remember, you don't find your soulmate. You become a soulmate by listening to wise counsel. Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. So be an amazing spiritual light. Be the teenager who asks mom and dad if you are wise in pursuing a particular person. Go to the right place, seek the proper introduction, and then look for the proper values. And first, you should look for the proper values in yourself. And consider Isaac. Consider how, as a young man, as all young men, he had a tendency to be rebellious and wild. And yet the scripture shows that he was completely obedient to his father's will. He was willing to go to Mount Moriah to be sacrificed, to die on an altar. And he also had respect for his father's wishes concerning the young woman in his life. I almost think that it would be easier to be bound to an altar and murdered than to have your father tell you that this crusty old servant is going to go 600 miles away and bring back your wife. I'm not sure I'd have been real thrilled about that if somebody had told me that. But he didn't resist. He didn't rebel. He trusted Eliezer. Now, we said that Isaac is a type of Christ. The same is true about the Lord. The Lord was perfect in his obedience to God the Father. And he allowed God the Father to work his will in his life. And so Isaac was a godly man. What was he doing when Eliezer returned with Rebekah? Well, Genesis 24, verse 63, he was meditating in the field in the evening. He lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. He was meditating on God's will and God's law. Psalm 1, verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That is the prototype of a young man who is seeking a wife. You spend your time meditating on God's word. You spend your time as a man of respect for God, a man of respect for your future wife. Isaac could have been at the bar in town, or he could have been at the local fitness club looking for women, but rather he was in the field meditating on God's law. Young men, don't expect a godly young woman with good sense to be attracted to you if you are unspiritual and weak. Why would a virtuous Christian lady be interested in you if you have sown your wild oats and you've lived in pleasure, but you expect her to be chaste? Society sets a double standard. It allows men to get away with unrighteousness and lasciviousness, and at least it used to hold women to a higher standard. That's not really true. We know that's not the case anymore, for the most part. But that's not the Bible standard. The standard from God is the same standard of conduct in the man and in the woman. Paul told Timothy, treat younger women as sisters with all purity. For the young ladies this morning, I wanted to mention Matthew 12, verse 33. Jesus said that a tree is known by its fruit. Young ladies, you need also to be very careful about who you date. You may come across a young man that steals your attention, but you need to pay attention to that young man's fruit. Be observant, be attentive, watch how he acts towards others and how he talks about his parents, and most importantly, how he treated his last girlfriend. And the fruit he has declares who he is. And the bad fruit you see now will only grow more rotten and foul-smelling after you are married. You set the standard by looking for proper values in yourself, but young men, you also set the standard by looking for proper values in her. You test your prospective wife. Now, how does the world test women? By their looks and charm. The world sets the standard by how someone looks. And you may not be in someone's league because they're much more attractive than you. But Proverbs 31, verse 30 says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." What an amazing verse. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing. It's vain. How can that be? How can it be that beauty is vain? Well, the most beautiful woman in the world today, go dig up her body in 100 years. It's going to be grotesque. Beauty is passing. And none of us stay 20 forever. What is the charm of a godly woman to be? 1 Peter 3, verse 4. "Let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." Young men, look for qualities of helpfulness and kindness and generousness, especially with others. Notice how she treats others. Not necessarily you, because she will be trying to impress you, but watch how she treats others. Don't make the mistake of marrying a pretty face which hides a contentious heart. The book of Proverbs has many admonitions that are not repeated, but one admonition is repeated numerous times, as many, I think, as five times, that it's better to live on a housetop, in a corner of a housetop, than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Proverbs 21, verse 9. There have been many a young man who have awakened after the honeymoon, and they've discovered that that young lady that treated them so wonderfully during their courtship is a contentious and nasty person. They would rather dwell on the corner of a housetop or in the desert than to live with her. But they're trapped, and they no longer have the choice of their wife. And then, last of all, on setting the standard for your wife-to-be, note that Rebecca was a virgin. She was pure, and she was God-fearing. She had resisted the call of the young women around her. Think about Rebecca's life for a second. It was the same then as it is now. Rebecca heard the same call that young ladies hear today, the call to go to parties, the call to flirt with boys in inappropriate dress, the call to attract the cutest young boy's attention. Rebecca heard that call, but she resisted. Her heart told her she was missing out and that she was being left behind. She was lonely at times. She could hear the music of the parties, perhaps going on over the next rise down in the nearest town. But she fought against the desire to sneak away and find her prince charming among the young men of Mesopotamia. And she waited. And she found her prince charming in Isaac. Young men, you need to find a young lady like Rebecca, one who hears the call of Jesus, the call of service, the call of commitment, the call of patience, the call of long-suffering and duty. And young women, you need to be that person. Satan wants to deceive you, to entrap you, to ensnare you, to betray you. And if you walk outside the protection of God's word, then you are in danger of losing everything that is valuable to you. Well, in conclusion this morning, Proverbs 12, verse 4, "An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in the bones." Young men, be very careful about finding your wife. The quest of Isaac was very, very important in God's providence because the future of the church was in Isaac. And as I have said this morning, Isaac's search for a wife is a type of Jesus finding the church. Those blessings of God rested on Isaac's shoulders. God promised that through Isaac, great blessings would come to the world. Through Isaac would come the Messiah. It was imperative that Isaac find a godly wife. Well, I want you to consider, young Christian man, that you're just as important as Isaac. Because in your future marriage, the church is also represented. Your future marriage is a metaphor for the church. Ephesians chapter 5. The future of the church is also dependent upon you. You are redeemed, you are sanctified, you are cleansed, you are washed from the corruption that is in the world. Like Isaac, You have many people depending on you, children not yet born, people you don't know are depending on your godly choice, your righteous behavior to light them the path that leads to God. You are not free to marry whomever you will. You are a slave to Christ, and your imperative is to establish a Christian home. You can't go and marry anyone that you choose. People are counting on you. Abraham insisted that Isaac marry a godly woman, and God commands you to do the same. You must find a godly woman to establish a marriage that is a metaphorical picture of the Lord's church. Your household must become a reflection of the Lord Jesus and his bride. Matthew 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. You should want your marriage to be a light to others groping in the dark. A city that is set on a hill that people can see when the world has failed them. And if you are truly saved, if you are a true disciple, then this is going to be a great consideration in your life. And you can trust God that he's not going to give you a snake or a rock, as the scripture says. He will bless you with a godly wife if you are discerning and prayerful about your search. You ask him and he will. But if you run out and chase after some beautiful thing and ignore all the warning signs that shout to you, then God will allow you to have what you desire, to your great sorrow and your great tribulation.